Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie Uncensored. We have officially moved to Patreon. Here's a sneak peek of Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie.
Come on, bitch, let's go.
Wow. Well, welcome back to the Dishing Drama Dana Show, part two of Who in the Hell is Crazy Days and Nights crowd gossip originator Enty, really? And what the hell is he doing with his anonymity, right? I heard, I guess, Dumois talking on her show about the quote-unquote Enty scandal, as she calls it, and she had a guest on her show, I guess a Shannon lady who does blind items on another show, which is quite popular. So this is not meant to do anything negative towards either Shannon or Dew, but I do want to say that them saying on her show that Cassandra's relationship with Enty was like, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but sort of just like a misunderstanding and the relationship just went bad kind of thing is just really not accurate. And as a result of me listening to that show, I am going to do a show next week with Vanessa Reiser, who's a narcissist specialist. She is somebody you guys will have heard of potentially as it relates to the Housewives landscape. If you know, you know. Well, Vanessa is going to come on and we're going to talk about some of the themes that Cassandra has told me in regards to Enty's behavior towards her and allegedly other women. And we're going to see if this is really about a relationship that's gone bad or if these are actually narcissistic traits that women should really be the freaking be careful of, right? Really be careful of, which is like, I hope everybody doesn't think I'm doing shows for shits and giggles here. I'm doing shows because I'm trying to give over information for you guys to ponder and protect my fellow humans, whether you be a man or a woman in a situation where you're being abused by a narcissist and you don't know it and you think you're at fault somehow because they've mind fucked you worse than a Bravo producer does. I mean, that's saying something, especially with the rumors that Dew spilled in last week's episode, along with this thing that annoyed me, which is that Winter House may not be coming out in 2024 due to a quote unquote pause. And also that Housewife franchises that are being shot as we speak, some of which have been put on pause in the past, like Dallas, and other franchises that are quote unquote popular may be paused out in 2024 due to behind the scenes drama that's happening on the Bravo level, which I guess Dew took it to mean maybe current housewives are trying to renegotiate their contracts or something. And so because of the reality reckoning influence and they're struggling to get people to sign back on unless their contracts are changed, something to that effect. Now, I also wanted to add my theory, which is that Bravo at the moment and NBC are being sued up the yin-yang for multiple breaches that have to do with contracts being unfair and illegal, sexual assault allegations, racist allegations, allegations of unfair practices, negligence, and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on across multiple shows that's happening. And all these reality stars that couldn't afford to get legal representation are finally getting interest from attorneys who are saying big ones, hey, listen, we could take on your case and we're going to attack NBC Bravo for all of these things that they've done to reality stars over the years. And we're going to see if we can't gain some traction in some of these cases, which will then create case law for other reality stars to sue under. And this is what maybe NBC might be pausing a few things over, I would guess, right? There's quite a few lawsuits across multiple reality show platforms, not just Bravo, NBC, Shed Media. I'm sure Evolution probably has one or two. But then there's also other networks that are struggling with this particular thing at the moment to do with shows like Bachelorette and dating shows. And I don't know, there's a bunch of them. All right. So I'd say the big fear that Bravo and the networks have is that what if you invalidate these agreements? And there's a way to poke a hole in them through some illegal terms in them, and the rest of the agreement then falls apart in some way or another, especially these old agreements like mine. There was no forward thinking that there was going to be such a thing as streaming. There was no, we're not psychic when we signed these agreements. There was no understanding there would be multiple networks distributing this content at the time. At the time, it was, Watch What Happens Live was on the internet, or that version where it came from, its offspring was on the internet. And the shows themselves were sitting on a very small network, and they were going to be aired once, I think, was the idea. But now, my goodness gracious, it's on streaming, Hey You, Peacock, little bit on Hulu. Sometimes it's on Disney Plus, and on Bravo, and on the internet, and on their YouTube, and, social media, BravoCon, all used for all these different things. And when you sign this contract in the beginning of time, they can't just keep expanding the intention of the contract, because you, as the person signing it early on, couldn't have possibly foreseen what they were going to use it for when you signed it. And that, my friends, may be getting some headway with the networks. And that might be causing them to slow down and rethink their contracts and rethink how they want to approach their content and reality stars and where their HR risks and where there aren't, because they could be facing hundreds of millions of dollars in lawsuits from hundreds of reality stars, and that all will get press over time. And the network may be going, whoa, do we really want to be in this space as it is, as we're exploiting it, right? Because that's why this space is so successful for them, because the content and the people are cheap. They get to use them and abuse them, and they don't pay for it. And they get to maximize the revenue off the backs of these people's lives, right? And there's nothing you can do about it, because you sign your life away. And when, for different people, that means different things, because the contracts have changed. But I thought I'd mention that. Anyway, that was a tangent. Also, I wanted to let you guys know, because in the Patreon, we were wondering why Duma doesn't post about Hailey Bieber too much, because she feels worried about Hailey Bieber. I guess other people wondered that too when I covered it, and other people covered Du talking about that on her show. And what it turns out it is that Hailey Bieber, in a passive aggressive manner, came at Du Moi about some of her posts. And now Du is uncomfortable in posting about Hailey Bieber. And specifically, she says she knows who she is, which I guess means that Du has a fear of someone finding out her identity because she could be sued. I would only assume that would be what would make her hesitate, right? But who knows? That's pure speculation. So anyway, I don't know. I kind of feel like at this point, there shouldn't be anonymous blind item people. I think there should be just people telling you who they are and telling you where they get their gossip from and gossiping. I'm not sure, this way, this anon thing is safe, really, is what I'm getting at based on what's transpired with Enty. But we'll find out more about the narcissistic traits and themes. And then next week, you guys can decide for yourself if you think that Cassandra's situation with the quote Enty scandal and some other women's connection to the Enty scandal is purely just a relationship that went awry, or whether there seems to be some really clear-cut themes that we can all learn from and try to avoid when we see these red flags with men. Because that's the goal here, is to try to keep women and men safe from falling into the arms of these people that will nuke your whole existence and destroy your soul and your life and your sometimes your children's lives for shits and giggles because they can, because then they're sick and they've got like a chip missing. So I just like to save you guys from all of that because I've been through it. It's not great. It's not a great thing to go through. And no matter how safe you think you are from it and how smart you think you are, you're not. You're not, because they work very methodically and it's tried and true, their method. So I'm going to teach you the method so you don't fall into it next week. And Cassandra's goal of warning women will be accomplished, which I felt like Dew took away from in her show last week, frankly. So I'm just going to do another show on Anti, which I didn't want to do, but I have to now because of this, because I have to get the message across the line here so that we don't have any misunderstandings about what's happening. So anyway, I want to now get into part two of Cassandra's story. And there is some sound bites in here from NT that he left her that are shocking. So here's a trigger warning for my women that have, or men that have been in domestic abuse relationships, because this could be a really difficult listen for you. Also, there's going to be, you know, these are very disturbing things you're going to hear. So I don't want you to come into this, you know, in the car on your way to Disney, probably not a great time to listen to this particular podcast, but come back to it because you'll thank me. And if you've got teenage kids, girls, or sons, you want to listen to this just to be able to teach them about the warning signs themselves. So as they go into their 20s and they run into a bunch of these people, you can keep them safe. Just quickly to help people who haven't heard last week's interview, the beginning of this, Cassandra is speaking about NT and she's sharing her story from the perspective of a few different approaches. One is NT, what he's lying to her and saying, and then later what she's finding out is true. Last week, what we learned was that NT had lied to Cassandra and said he wasn't married and didn't have a wife. And then all of a sudden, he has a wife and makes up a story that she's got an alcohol problem. And then, you know, the rest of it you'll understand as you listen to today's show, just to help people out if you missed last week. All right, well, let's do it.
Come on, let's go. Part of us messaging that whole time before he had come and stayed with me was two things. Our sexting, right? Which sometimes could get, I would say, dark or like BDSM or violent, but I didn't think anything real. Like it wasn't anything that I would think would translate into real life. And then the other thing was a lot of him just being there for me about everything I've been through with my abuse and my kid's dad. And he really just was always there 24/7. So when we're actually intimate and it becomes sexually violent, I'm shocked, right? I mean, I completely have like an out-of-body experience because I can't believe that he's actually doing this to me and he's choking me, which I told him I hate. I don't want to do that. I don't find this like sexual at all. This is something that my abuser did to me. This is why I left. You know that, you know, you claim to be there for me and love me. And I'm like hysterical crying. And this happens on multiple occasions. But during the first time, you know, he basically makes me feel like if you can't take it, you know, then I can't love you. Like I need somebody that I can abuse. Like I need to abuse you. And so that was really scary for me because it went from like, I'm going to protect you, I'm not going to let anybody hurt you, to I'm going to hurt you and I have to hurt you.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. Jeez.
He would tell me like he wants to knock my other tooth out. I have a tooth that's missing that I'm really self-conscious about. And I think he obviously picked up on that. And that became a big thing. And then, I mean, I think, you know, from some of the stuff that's come out that like he was very into starvation, telling me he wanted me to be super tiny so he could crush bones and things. I mean,
those voices that you got, because I have heard them,
Those voices, those were sent when in this so far? Have we gotten to them yet?
No. You want to know something interesting? That voice note that he sent, he also sent that as a text message way early on, and I didn't even see it or catch it. Like, he love bombed me with so many messages, I didn't even see it. I found it now while going through evidence.
Okay, so after he leaves and you've had all this interaction, he's leaving under the pretense that his wife is on a binge drinking thing and he's got to go home to protect his kids. But you guys are going to still be together is the plan.
Yeah, he's going to come right back. And he does. He actually does come right back. And in that weird time that he's gone, I talk to his wife on the phone. And, you know, she tells me that a lot of things, and she sends me a lot more DMs, which you've seen as well.
Yeah, I saw the DMs. I did a show about it. I read them all. Yeah, because I thought it was important what she said. Okay, so then he comes back and you're really sure now that the story that he's presenting is happening. What does he say when he leaves the second time, or how does the second leaving go? What's his storyline on that one?
So everything's great. You know, she has the kids. She's probably not drunk right now. Everything's fine. And I'm like, at this point, feeling horrible. I'm like, I should not be with this person. But they're like also trying to get me pregnant. This is terrifying and I'm in over my head. And he comes back and I'm thinking to myself, well, if he came back, like, they're definitely separated, right? And then she's still messaging me. And I got confused because I'm like, wait, did he not tell you that he's here? And she's like, do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know the truth? And then just disappears. And then, you know, me and him are in my bedroom. He's like surfing Twitter, whatever. I'm working. And he, all of a sudden, he looks at his phone and he starts having like a stroke. I mean, it was terrifying, Dana. I've done end of life care and I literally almost called 911 because I thought the man was going to have a heart attack. And he's looking at his phone, he's freaking out, and he's like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I have to go outside. And he goes, which he does often, he goes outside, makes these mysterious phone calls, and he comes back in. And he's like, okay, I'm getting all of these phone calls. The girls, they're terrified because their mom is drunk and I can't get a hold of them. And it's been 3 days and I haven't been able to talk to them. And now their phone is off and I don't know what to do. I think that she might have killed herself and the children.
Oh my God. What?
And I'm bawling, right? I'm just like bawling my eyes out.
You're like, how did I get myself into this mess?
God's never going to forgive me. I'm so fucked. So then he's like saying that he's calling the old tennis instructor because that guy is able to get into their gated community and can go check there. And he's having someone drive by the house and he's calling a well check with the police and nobody can find them. And so I'm like, go, like, goodbye, go to the airport, like, go, you know, you have to take care of your babies. Like, oh my God, this woman is evil. I can't believe she would just do this to your children. Like, what is going on? And so he left, you know, to save his children from the evil alcoholic drunk woman.
Wow. Again.
Again.
So the idea is I'll stabilize her again,
get the wife in check, and then return back to the mistress again until the wife unravels one more time. Now, I want to just...
You want to know the best part?
Yeah.
Well, oh, no. This is a different time. But also, he attempts to come back a few weeks later and isn't able to because she abandons them allegedly at a pool party and goes MIA. And he lands in the Tampa International Airport, but he can't come to me, his love, because he must go back because the police want him for questioning because his wife's missing and they think maybe he murdered her. So he has to meet his lawyer at the police station and get on the next plane back.
This is what he tells you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I just want to say that I need to step in as somebody who's dated a pathological liar who was capable of anything. And I want you to know that he used to go outside and talk for hours in his car. He used to go outside and like pace out in front of the house making phone calls. And
the
I never,
closet.
Yeah, in the closet. Yep. in the closet. He used to sit mm-hmm. in the closet for hours, and he'd say that like he felt safe in the closet. Then he said he was abused and that's why he was in the closet. Anyway, and needless to say, that was always a reason to be in the freaking closet. Now, given we lived in a mansion where the closet was like 1,000 square feet, but still it was weird to be in the closet. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I did what you did, which was I normalized the behavior that was totally nuts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I'd ask him, why are you outside so much? He's like, oh, investment deal. Oh, I was just talking to this guy about, you know, this money thing. And I just couldn't get out of the car because I couldn't hang up the phone. A million lies. Mm-hmm. Okay. The level of lying that somebody like this can do is beyond, as I said, anyone's comprehension. It's so outrageous. Yeah. And what they do, just so you guys know how it works, is they will prove to you that one of their outrageous lies is true. Because if they manage to do that, then you will believe every outrageous lie. And that is a tactic.
Dana, and that's what Tiffany told me. She said, look, at one of these adventures where he was going to show up at my house, we didn't believe him. We thought he was lying. And she goes, if he shows up, he's telling the truth about everything, girl. He showed up. So I said, okay, fuck it. I'm just crazy and paranoid and take too many edibles. He's right. I'm stupid and crazy.
No, I know. I totally understand this. You don't even know how deeply I understand what your whole mind fuck that you went through. So I want to now ask you, he's now come back and forth a few times to prove he's really there for you. You guys have had lots of sex, some of it abusive, some of it, I would imagine, okay, right? Mm-hmm. Both. Okay. And then when does it go to the voices? When do you get these weird voices I heard?
February 22nd. So right after he leaves, finally, like he finally leaves, he goes back to California to take care of his kids. And he tells me that he's living in a condo near where their mom's house is. So that way he's not actually living in the house with her, but he can still be right there to take them to school and have visitation. And like, we have our own schedule. You know, I still listen to him record every single night. We text and phone call all day and all night. And also we watch TV every night. But now that he's gone, and I know how much sex he has to have, basically. I hate to say it like that, but he's like very overly sexual. I'm thinking to myself, he's definitely going to cheat on me. And so I need to hype myself up and I just need to be a big girl and I need to have Zoom sex. And so we just start having Zoom sex every night before he records or watching a show or both. So every episode you guys have listened to for the last year, he was in his closet jerking his baby carrot. Yeah.
Ow! Oops.
Oh, Jesus. And then I don't know. I have to put a sound effect into that part. Jeez. Okay. And then what about the voicemails? You know how you have those voicemails where he sounds like he's reading from like a dirty book or something? What the hell were those?
And during that time, that is when he sends me that voice note. And he says that, you know, he made it for me because he wants, I don't know, like us to feel close, even though we're apart and we're going to be together soon. And I guess he's being very romantic.
It's so unromantic, this sound effect. Yeah. Yes.
And really, like he does start it by saying, I love you. Like, hey, baby, I hope you enjoy this. I love you. And the audio, I want to say he sends me in April. He also texted me a version of that audio in February. So just a few months later, he sends me the actual audio of it.
Are you to come? Did I tell you to come for me? I didn't tell you to come for me, but you did anyway. I tell you to get off my knock and get my belt. It's hanging over the chair. Always visible and always a reminder of what happens when you disobey. You start to bring it to me.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Look,
we all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like
Bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Don't play with it. No. Take that shit serious.
Part of it says, you know what happens when I catch you eating junk food. I drag you to the bathroom by your hair, get you on your knees, and shove my fingers down your throat until you puke all over the floor. That's the light stuff, you guys.
Oh my God. So just, but what was weird about it is it sounded like he was reading from something.
Mm-hmm. It's a script he wrote and that he's sent it to multiple women. That's just my opinion though. Like, I don't know that he sent it to a lot of women, but when I went through my phone to do a timeline, I found that he sent me that as a text message in February. And then he sends me the audio of it in April.
So he basically is reusing content that is of a sexual nature potentially over and over again on women in different ways. And maybe, mm-hmm. you know, he did it twice for you. He recycled content accidentally to you, mm-hmm. right? Because he offers it up in text, and then later he offers it up again in an audio message. And when you guys hear this message, he totally sounds like he's reading from a book or something. It doesn't sound like it's him personally saying it. It's so weird. And right. it made me think that he might have recorded a bunch of these messages and we're dispersing it to women, you know, maybe over years. Like, he just mm-hmm. liked that one. That was one of his favorites. So he used it again, or he didn't have time to send a message to someone that he wanted them to know that he was, like, you know, wanted to keep them on the pitch or whatever. So he sends them a message he has already made quickly. I mean, it's so crazy, but I really believe that could be true. Like, maintenance. Mm-hmm.
1,000%. And this also lines up with, like, when my eating disorder kicks into, like, high gear, and I end up losing probably 30 pounds over the time I'm with him. He's having me send him videos as well of me purging. So out there. And, like, that's what the one big thing, like, I just want to tell people is, like, he has hundreds of videos and pictures of me, and, like, these are things, I'm not even a sexual person, you know what I mean? But it's just, I was so easily manipulated and sucked into this, and to do whatever he wanted. And it's, I just, like, want people to be aware, like, you can't trust anybody, you know, and just that people will prey on your eating disorder, your abuse, whatever it is. So therapy is important. You know, I didn't think it was important. I thought that I could just go through life without, like, addressing my problems, but that's not true, because you keep, you know, reliving these same experiences.
Yeah. You got to break the cycle of it. But I mean, how sick to use someone's vulnerabilities for your own sexual perversion.
I mean, he told me that he didn't want me to eat every day until after he had come every night.
Oh my God.
So I wasn't, then I'd have to listen to him record. So I wasn't eating until, like, 10:30 at night sometimes.
So this is total BDSM shit he's doing, you know, like, next level. But the thing is, BDSM is supposed to be really controlled. There's, like, a way you do it that's safe for your partner, so it doesn't mm-hmm. go too far. So, and I feel like that groundwork wasn't set.
Yeah. Well, no, and I started researching BDSM because I didn't know anything about any of this or any of the fetishes that he was into. So I had to Google all of them. And I learned that too about BDSM, and I asked him about it, and he's like, no, that's not what I'm into. Like, this is for real. This is real life. Like,
so okay. His fetishes were starvation, strangulation. What other ones do you think he had? Speculating.
He wanted to pee on me.
All derogatory.
Yeah, just degrading, murdering. I mean, he would get angry with me during sex and say that, like, he wanted to kill me. He wanted to be able to hurt me worse, but he couldn't, and start violently shaking because he couldn't control his anger. And that was really scary for me.
Yeah, I think it would be. And wow. And you're still holding on to the romantic idea of the life he's going to provide
because
you.
Because when he's not like that, he's a totally different person.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that.
He's like paying for my kid's therapy. He's taking her. He's asking, you know, did Maya say any new words today? Just always asking about my kids, always being there for me.
No,
telling
I get
me I'm
it.
A super mom.
Yeah. No, I get it. I totally get what he did. Ugh. Why are people so evil?
Well, I think that he feels entitled to use women and abuse them because he's a man and he's rich and he's been doing this for a long time.
Let me just say this. I find this so disturbing because the tone of Crazy Days and Nights is to always sort of protect the underdog and to protect children and women that have been abused by Hollywood predators and, you know, people in positions of power. And here is the ultimate, you know, example of this in Enty, the character he creates. So he has like an alter ego, and his alter ego is this good guy that is everything to everyone. And then the real him, the other part of him, is the darkest, most opposite thing to that, which is really frightening.
I mean, it is scary because a lot of it I thought was fantasy, but then once it became, all of this became a reality, now I have to decide, you know, what was he serious about? Making me disappear? Drugging me?
I get it. You don't know how far it'll go, like what's real and what isn't. I get that. What did he say at the end about the wife? I'm so curious. So he disappears after a while. He goes home. He's still seeing you only online now, but you guys are having sex online. So you think the relationship's continuing. What do you think's happening with the wife at this point? He's living in the condo down the street. Where is she? Yep. And all this.
She ends up having to go to rehab, according to him. She goes to some rehab facility inpatient and is not doing well at all. The girls are wrecked. They're in therapy. They end up having to give away their dogs because nobody's home to take care of them. He can't afford to kennel them or have them at the condo. So they have to give up the dogs. The girls are doing way better in school now since he's in charge. But he does have less time for me, I noticed. But you know what? I don't really care because he's taking care of his kids. And I thought that that was amazing. But he's still calling me like the second I wake up. Sometimes he would set his alarm for like 4 a.m. to call me when I was waking up. And he'd call me when he woke up. And then after the first school run, the second school run. So, you know, I'm thinking that his wife is just off in rehab this entire time.
Right. And that's not the case. He's actually in Europe with the wife, right? When the kids on a vacation. Yeah.
All over the place. I mean, they live on vacation. Who knows? You know what I mean? They're at the country club. They're at the cheer, whatever. He's sending me pictures from Knott's Berry Farms of all these little cheerleader girls lined up in their uniforms, probably 9 years old. And I'm thinking like, this is adorable. Like you're taking your daughter to cheer. And now I'm thinking like,
for the full scoop, join the Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. The link is in this audio description. It's only $6 a month and you'll get the best information and tea about the things you care about and even the things you don't know you care about. What are you waiting for?